Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slap Box Podcast. This is episode. Welcome to Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 725. I'm your host, Joshua Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged feline, is downstairs. He's going to be up here before too long because this is generally the time I clean out his litter box. It's late. I had to work today on a lot of overtime. So I'm going to muscle through and hopefully Agent Fox Mulder cuts me a little slack because I haven't cleaned his litter box yet today. But hey, I cleaned the whole litter box out just a couple days ago and put all new litter in there. So, but that's not why he's freaking out. He won't be freaking out. The reason is because I usually brush him afterwards and then I give him some treats. I think that last part is the real reason he's going to be freaking out. He's like, where's my fucking treat, asshole? That'll be any minute from now. I keep looking to the side, like, as soon as I said it, I'm like, I'm waiting for him to just appear. And, no, he's not here yet, but I would imagine it'd be any minute now. Any minute now. As I'm getting paranoid, I gotta stop looking to the side. Gotta stop looking over there. It should be all right. Yeah, it's been a long week. I forgot to mention mentioned the lights, but I did before the last week's podcast. I did finish I'm going to try to stop itching. I've got like heat rash from working in the heat. try to stop itching like a crackhead. But I had finished putting up my poster frames with the lights and everything. I got it. It looks sharp. It looks sharp. I'm really pleased with how it turned out. I believe I mentioned last week how I like the lights in there. And I don't think I went into detail. But yeah, it is done. I ended up being able to move the power strip. I took the old one off, actually. And then I ended up taking cutting out a piece of plywood the size of the new power strip. And then mounting that to the ceiling where I was going to mount the power strip. And then I used some, you know, drywall anchors. And then before I did that, I painted that area black, that little ceiling part black. I did mention that before. But I was pretty pleased with how it all turned out. I ended up putting covers over all the cords for the power adapters and the power strip, and it had plastic covers with the adhesive on it that I had spray painted, not the adhesive but the plastic part. I spray painted the colors of the walls, so there's black and red, and then it looks really, really sharp. And because of those lights, I've ordered a bunch of those posters. Well, not a bunch. I've got like 8 or 9 of them so far. And I'm going to be emailing one of the sellers on eBay about a few more to see if they have any inventory. I know I wanted to see Airplane, the movie, if they've got that one. Because I talked about several weeks ago, I believe, how Shelley and I just loved watching that on Laserdisc as kids, and Hobo with the Shotgun, and I feel like there was at least one or two more that I was going to attempt to see, and it's not, I'm not sure of it. I mean, maybe I'll ask about Howard the Duck, see if he's got another Howard the Duck one. I mean, there's so many movies, and it's like, oh, they can be a bit pricey. You know, the average price of them are about $30. I didn't pay that much for all of the ones I bought. Some of them I found. I like getting the ones that are more niche movies, that are more, shall we say, cult classics. And they're not exactly a ton of people. Like, the people that saw it love it, but, you know, there's not that many sort of situation. But you can get some for, like, 15 or some below. But then you go to, like, Star Wars, the original trilogy. Not, like, the newer ones, like the Grogu, you can get about 30, maybe even for, like, 25. Rogue One, I think I saw for 25 at one point. That was tempting. But I don't just get posters of movies I like. It's got to be a cool poster, you know? And I got to figure it looks good lit up. I got the Christopher Reeve Superman up. And I said it right that time as opposed to like the last episode or the one before where I kept saying Keanu Reeves. No, it's Christopher Reeve and not Reeves. Reeve. And my old brain is, I haven't been getting a whole lot of sleep lately. I've been working a lot of overtime. And, you know, I breathe in fumes from welding. I'm going to make excuses all day here. So, you know, some of the Star Wars movies you can get decent prices. The not as... Well, like I liked the Solo movie. I did see that one. That one also might have been like a 25 or 30-ish range. I don't remember what I saw that one for. I enjoyed the movie. I know it was one of the Disney films that really kind of tanked a lot of the, as far as new movies are concerned with Star Wars, it definitely kind of kiboshed a lot of that because it did not meet expectations. And it sucks because I was really wanting to see, because they had a live action Darth Maul, just a glimpse of him at the end. And I liked Emilia Clarke in it. I like me some Emilia Clarke. I don't like what they did at the end of Game of Thrones with her character, the Queen of Dragons, or the Mother of Dragons, rather. Targaryen, was it Daenerys? Shit, what was her? Yeah, anyway, Emilia Clarke. You know, I liked her at playing that character. I don't like what they did with the character in the last, like, season or two of Game of Thrones. I have watched the... I'm all caught up on season 3 of House of the Dragon, and that's entertaining. It's... I'm not as jacked as I once was, like, when the original Game of Thrones came out in the first, like, 4 seasons of that. I mean... Straight fire. That shit was great. It was the greatest show around at that point in time. Still not Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad is my all-time fave. But, yeah, anyway. I was saddened that, you know, not to see Darth Maul more in live action. And though I gotta say, the anime Maul, the series on Disney Plus... I did enjoy that, and I really enjoyed how it ended. And, of course, I do believe that they're going to do at least one more season. But you get Darth Vader versus Maul. And that spoiler alert if you haven't watched that series. And holy shit. Does it get any better than that? I mean, Darth Maul is one of my favorite characters of Star Wars, at least the Sith variety. Which is pretty crazy because, you know, Phantom Menace isn't, like, one of the greatest films. Mainly because of Jar Jar Binks. I think if you cut out Jar Jar Binks, he's so annoying. Which I don't remember being too annoyed the first time, like, I watched it. And the Anakin as a kid, like, they really gave him some kind of shit lines. I don't blame the actor. That has had I forgot the original actor that played Anakin in Phantom Menace. I believe he's did not deal with, you know, a lot of the hate went his way, and it wasn't his fault. You know, it was George Lucas had some crazy shit going on with the script. Well, I don't remember if he was behind writing that script or not, but I mean, it was George Lucas. And who directed Phantom Menace. But it's, you know, Phantom Menace has got a lot of good shit to it. And when that did come out, was it 99, 98-ish, something like that? I don't remember what year Phantom Menace came out. But when that came out, you know, I had not thought that they were going to make another Star Wars after Return of the Jedi. I mean, that was basically what was seen to be the deal. And, well, I guess Lucas had talked about doing the prequel trilogy for quite some time before that. But, I mean, it had been a long time, you know? It had been well over a decade. It had been, you know, probably like 15 years or so since another Star Wars movie came out. So, I mean, I think I saw Return of the Jedi as a kid, but I was too young to really remember it. In the theater, I mean. I may or may not have. I mean, I was young when Return of the Jedi came out. I'd have to look at the date here. But I would venture to guess it was early 80s. Oh, what the hell? My computer is... Oh, the recording's still going. Okay, 83. Yeah, I would have been two. I was probably not at the theater to see that. My computer... I blame the AI shit. It's probably what's going on here. Copilot, you fucking Microsoft and your bullshit. It's probably why my computer keeps turning on black, going to black as it keeps doing it. What the fuck? Hopefully I don't lose this recording. This is really annoying. This is pissing me the fuck off. I might have to restart my computer or something. This is not cool, man. Fucking Windows 11, man. Is some total dog shit. The whole AI stuff going on. But yeah, anyway. This is a big deal for where Phantom Menace come out. What I was going to say about Phantom Menace is just... Darth Maul is, you know, one of my favorite Sith. And possibly favorite Sith. And just that the best lightsaber duel on film is in Phantom Menace. So, I mean, there's... It's, you know, there may be parts of Phantom Menace I want to skip over, but damn, the Duel of the Fates saber battle between Qui-Gon Jinn, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Darth Maul. Fucking fantastic. Fucking fantastic. Anyway, back to the posters. If you get any of the original trilogy, or at least that I've seen on eBay, then the 25-inch by 5-inch movie poster... The movie Mylars. It is, you're going to pay like $50 just for one of those. Not the whole trilogy. Just say Return of the Jedi, Empire Strikes Back, or A New Hope. Any of those three. And it's going to be at least $50. Which is a bit much to pay for one of those. I mean, I've already spent more than that on buying all of the posters that I've got. But, you know, I can't. I do have the two of the original trilogies in like 24 by 36 inch movie posters. And they did not cost me that much. The Mylars... I think it maybe it's just it's higher quality material that's printed on. It's Mylar. It's not your standard poster, whatever they're using to print on. I don't know what exactly. Some of them I have are canvas. The canvas can go for a little bit more of the standard movie poster size. And a lot of the canvas prints are pretty nice. I just got some for the upstairs hallway, and there's a Shining one, although it was the 40-inch movie poster size, which is, it ended up being pretty pricey. Let's not go into how much that costs. The Shining one's really fucking sharp, man. It's got the twins in the hallway, where the, of course, the hexagon pattern that I, of course, painted above the cabinets in my kitchen there, and thankfully I don't have to paint that anymore. And so I got a movie poster of The Shining in my hallway. I can turn around and look at it right now. And one of The Crow, the original Crow. The only Crow that I would ever attempt to watch again, most likely. Though maybe I'll get real bored one night and, you know, go and watch the other ones. I never watched the last one. It looked like shit. Brandon Lee's my boy. And, you know, him dying during the making of it makes it hard to go like, you know, okay, I'm going to watch another Crow movie. And where they're just trying to be Brandon Lee again, which in the comic book, which the movies do this, like the comic book, the graphic novel, if you will. The Crow takes on other people. And, you know, in different situations and finds different heroes, I guess. So that's what the movie, had Brandon Lee not died during the making of it, maybe I would have bothered to watch another Crow movie, but still, I feel like Brandon Lee was fantastic in it. And just that, the soundtrack, I mean, that movie was, the soundtrack really set that, and just the look of the film, fantastic, man, fantastic. That Nine Inch Nails song, Dead Souls, with the basketball for the drum part. He's just bouncing a basketball. Fantastic. It's got The Cure on there. There's Henry Rollins. Ugh. Anyway. I did not get the smaller Crow poster. The one I did get for the upstairs, though, is pretty nice. It's one where he's standing at the broken window where he was murdered. Yeah. Speaking of like movies and such, I've been watching a fuck ton of movies, since I got done painting, and I'm going to hold off on working on the upstairs until till work slows down, most likely is what I'm probably going to do, but at least maybe not. I won't bother to wait until it slows down like completely to where all the overtime's gone. But what I really want to do is just wait for it to get cool, man, because the heat, working in the heat, is really making life difficult at work. It's once I get done doing like 8 to 9 hours working in the 90 plus, it's hit triple digits inside the building where I'm working at. And if it wasn't hot, my job is very physical. Here I go making excuses again, but man, I am fucking tired after work. Anyway, all right. Yeah. So eventually I'll get around to working on the upstairs, and it will involve some painting once I finish the drywall shit. Not looking forward to the drywall part, but I will get around to fixing that. But Fox is really loving the fact that I haven't been painting and I've been watching movies. And so that means he's, when I go downstairs and watch stuff on the projector and recline all the way back, he immediately comes up and like jumps on my lap while I'm watching movies. And just like passes out on me. And it's a great bonding. That's why he was getting so pissed at me for painting for so long, because we weren't doing hardly any of that. But anyway, I have had time to do other things, and I've been getting some sleep. Not every night, as I've had the heat rash has kept me up a few nights to where I had maybe 2 hours of sleep some nights going into work. And that's just further complicating things. But I'm trying to get the heat rash under control, which is may give me excuses not to run as well. I don't want to make the heat rash worse. Anyway, hell yeah. Try to clear my throat. I did have some Panda Express, and a piece of broccoli did go down the windpipe earlier. And I think that's probably why my voice sounds a little rough tonight. Oh, yeah. Anyway, what I was going to say is I have had time to do other things. And so I finally cracked open Mr. Bruce Campbell, the legend that is Bruce Campbell. I have started reading his first book, If Chins Could Kill, Confessions of a B-Movie Actor. And I got to say, I'm loving it, which I figured I would, you know. I love it. Just hearing interviews with Bruce Campbell about the, you know, the early days of making Evil Dead and just the early days of him filming stuff. And, you know, I enjoy him on film. This book is, I'm only a couple of chapters in. I'm like, maybe, have I started chapter four? I'm not sure. I know I just got to them starting to make movies. Though even before that, like the first chapter is like early childhood, and that's got some really great shit in it. You know, I don't want to ruin the whole book for you. If you want to pick it up, I suggest like reading it. If you're interested in making movies at all, or you just love like the history of it, it is definitely worth reading, or, you know, the audiobook. I presume he probably voiced the audiobook himself. I don't know. I haven't looked at the audiobook. But I don't do the audiobook because, you know what? I read the book and I put his voice in my head. I'm reading it in his voice. Which sometimes I get a little distracted, then I'll fuck up the voice, and then I gotta like get his voice back in my head. It's a whole thing. Anyway. The first chapter, early childhood for Mr. Bruce Campbell. He talks about growing up with his two older brothers. Was it Mike and Don? That might be their names, but don't quote me on that. I feel like that may not be it. That got two older brothers, and apparently, one of them, I think, went on to become an engineer. And so, like, they had, were quite inventive with things and, like, drew out schematics for, like, building shit as children, like, made, like, some pretty nice-sounding tunnels. Now, I remember, like, making shit when I was a kid and being highly interested in shit, but, you know what, we didn't know what the fuck we were doing. None of it was all that involved. But there's some really funny stories from his, like, early childhood. One of the more funnier ones is they like to shoot off bottle rockets, and they made their own little guns to help shoot the bottle rockets. Because I think every kid, at least American kid, at one point in time got into bottle rocket fights as a kid. That was a thing. And I don't think Shelley and I like made guns to shoot them more accurately, but apparently they did. And I've talked to Jimmy Cro-Magnon. Apparently he did as well. They had this teacher that apparently did not like the Campbell boys. Was always sending them to detention and whatnot. And I guess she lived fairly close to them, enough to where they could easily walk over there in a short period of time. And in Bruce Campbell's words, I believe she loved the spirits. You gotta, like, Bruce Campbell is, I almost want to read the story verbatim, but, you know, you just gotta get the book. Long story short, though, as I'm gonna butcher the story, they were out and about, and decided to shoot bottle rockets at her house. And, again, they were using their guns, which, according to Bruce Campbell, increased the accuracy to 80% with the bottle rocket. Because, you know, they can just zip off into all kinds of different directions. Can be hard to control. But he said 80% accuracy. That's some high accuracy. I don't know if they were very scientific with measuring the accuracy on it, but listening to like him talk about him and his brothers, like they documented a lot of shit. I almost feel like they probably figured that out, you know, like mapped it out, like how many hits and misses. It's probably a legit number. anyway, this teacher, they're hitting their house with bottle rockets. She opens the door and they hit her with a bottle rocket and then, you know, bolt. And she apparently knew exactly who did it. As I'm guessing that was still like right next door to her. They take off, go back home, and immediately like turn on the television. I think that he said their parents weren't home at the time, but to just, you know, like, oh, we were just watching TV this whole time. The cops show up and like, hey, did you shoot Miss what's her face with a bottle rocket? And like, sir, we were out playing in our own yard. I don't know what you're talking about. And then Bruce Campbell asked the cop if she was drunk and said, well, as a matter of fact, yes, she was. And that was the end of it. They got away with shooting their teacher with bottle rockets because she was a drunk. And it's way more entertaining to hear Bruce Campbell tell the story. So I won't bore you with a lot of my retellings of the stories. That's just a like kind of one of the funnier ones. At least of the childhood stuff. And I'm just now getting into, of course, when they started shooting films. And apparently they're, you know, in high school is when he met Sam Raimi, the legend that is Sam Raimi. And the whole crew of people that he would go on to, you know, make all his movies with and such. And, you know, they were filming stuff in high school. And apparently just tossing dummies off, like, parking garages and shit. And would get the cops called on them. And then the cops, you know, got used to, like, I guess, showing up, hearing, like, bodies, like, being pushed off of, like, parking garages or what have you. And then it got to the point where, like, oh, hey, your dummies look, you know, way more realistic this time. Way to go, guys. So I'm guessing, you know, they weren't big sticklers for, you know, permits and such for filming. But, you know, they probably, you know, got away with it just because they were high school students, which, you know, thankfully they did, man. You know, it would have sucked. You know, they'd been arrested or something and it would have been harder for, you know, Sam Raimi. Maybe that would have discouraged Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell from becoming the legends that they are today. Anyway. Yeah, they had, there's some crazy stories just been, you know, like the early days of what they're talking about. Just them practicing falling downstairs and shit. And I know from interviews that the making of the original Evil Dead was just absolute batshit crazy, the stuff that was going on. And so I'm really excited to get to that part. Because, like, they did not, I know that they did not know what the fuck they were getting themselves into, even though, you know, they'd been filming stuff at that point for years, little short films and stuff during high school and whatnot. But, I know that it was, like, freezing cold, where they shot at, because they're all from Michigan. I don't think they shot in Michigan, though. I forgot where they went to go shoot the original Evil Dead. But they went to where they went because they thought... Oh, yeah, so here, God, I gotta find it. Evil. Original. Shooting location. Let's see here. Tennessee is where they originally filmed. It was like November or so. I want to say just like the start of winter, I believe, when they started. And they went there with the thought that it would be warmer there than Michigan at that time. And they were wrong. It was like a super fucking cold winter. It was like... unusually cold for Tennessee for that time period, even though, like, I don't know that Tennessee's necessarily really warm during the winter. I mean, it's probably warmer now because, you know, it's just fucking hot now. That's just our reality. But the freezing cold, you know, really made it difficult for what they were doing. And they just, you know, filming everything was, there was people that, I think someone was almost electrocuted to death. There was, I feel like that's like a story in a lot of old like horror movies from like the 80s and like 70s, 80s. Like somebody's always almost getting electrocuted with all the fake blood and shit. But yeah, it's crazy stuff. I'm really looking forward to that story. I hope there's more in there than what I've heard in interviews, which I've heard a lot in interviews. Again, it's I feel like he's gonna have some more stuff, and just his writing is entertaining. The way he writes, which he's written several books now. He's writing a new one, I believe. This one's a fiction. Like a Western, I believe, is what he's currently working on. So, after I get done with this book, I might have to start picking up Bruce Campbell's other work. If I can find time to squeeze some books in, eventually I will start working back on the house here again, though. So, I'll be back to losing sleep and not having much downtime for other things. But hey, you know, I thought about seeing the new Evil Dead burn this weekend. But, you know, again, I'm work with having to work Saturday, not having a whole lot of time. I would have had to seen it today, and I highly doubt I would stay awake for a fucking movie in the movie theater. Hopefully I'm going to go see it next weekend. As of right now, as of this moment, when I left work today, it was not scheduled next week for Saturday. We were not scheduled to work. Though they have until the end of day, the shift on Thursday to post whether or not we are working Saturday. If I get through Thursday and it's not posted, then I'll be off next Saturday. Word on the street is, it sounds like we're going to be working every other Saturday. I don't know. Saturdays are rough. If I'm not working Saturday, I will watch the new Evil Dead burn. I've heard, I haven't looked, I don't want to, you know, read really reviews on it because I don't want to ruin the movie for me. Although, like, I feel like, it's going to be basically Evil Dead Rise. It's just people have deadites coming after them. It looks very Texas Chainsaw Massacre-ish from the previews that I've seen. It looks like there's a crazy family. And you know, it's Evil Dead. I'm going to watch it. I think I'll probably go see it in the theater next weekend. We'll see. And a few weeks ago, I know I talked about the next Evil Dead that's currently being made. And I said Wraith. I thought I saw an I in there. It's Wrath. Evil Dead Wrath. As Agent Fox Mulder is here. He is like wanting me to clean his litter box. Hey, buddy. I got to finish this podcast, homie. You going to come in and chime in? Evil Dead Wrath, though, is a prequel to the first Evil Dead. So I don't think they've released any real details on it other than it being filmed, that its time period is the 70s. So I don't know if it's going to... I presume with it being the 70s. That we're going to follow the Nobi family, like the Professor Nobi, that, of course, when Ash goes to the cabin in Evil Dead 1, that is the professor that had left the recordings of him reading the book, Book of the Dead, the Necronomicon. And yeah. So I'm assuming that it has to do with Nobi and how he came into possession of the Necronomicon. Then again, you know, I don't know. But I mean, with it being in the 70s, I'm thinking we might get some cabin action. I mean, I imagine that there's no ash, but maybe we'll get just a hint. They'll get like some, you know, maybe it's possible we could do some like CG stuff of just a young Ash just driving up. Or just like a sequence of just from the original Evil Dead of them driving to the cabin. Just a little clip of them driving to it. Or maybe some like montage featuring Ash, like in the beginning, you know? We don't have to put old, you know, Bruce Campbell being 68, I think he is now, as he just had his birthday. June 22nd, I think. Don't quote me on that. But he, you know, he says he can't do the Ash thing anymore. He's just too old to do live action. Though there is the anime. There is the anime coming up. But yeah, the Evil Dead Wrath, I'm very interested in. Burn, I haven't read like full reviews, so I don't know what exactly happens in the movie, but I've seen some Redditors talk about it. Just about their reaction to it, not particular scenes or anything of that nature. I did read that some people said that they did put some humor into it, like the original trilogy. And yeah, that's, I guess, promising, but, you know, it's a tough route to go down, the horror comedy, to pull that off well. And there's only one Bruce Campbell. The horror comedy. Can you do better than a Bruce Campbell? I mean, he is so good at physical comedy. I mean, the whole scene where he cuts his hand off. He did too. Or an Army of Darkness when he's got the little miniature ashes attacking him. That's pretty epic. Anyway, I've heard people come out on the Reddit page for just the Evil Dead subreddit that say some of them love it. And then I think I've seen more people say that they love Evil Dead Burn than those that say they hate it. But I have seen some hate go its way. So, but you're never gonna please everybody, especially when you have a hardcore fan base for something like Evil Dead. It's like, can you really expect Star Wars fans to like everything Star Wars? That can be challenging. I could go for some more Star Wars. I did, you know, I've been watching plenty of stuff on the projector as, I've had the more time and what have you. But I try to, mainly I haven't been watching a whole lot of movies. I guess I've watched more movies than I have, you know, prior to me finishing painting. But I've gone back to watch like all of the X-Files, but I've only like the X-Files I've watched on the projector is like, only the more, you know, the better, the more cinematic ones. Like I watched Home on the projector. That was fantastic watching that, which is probably the best episode of X-Files, you know? I mean, the conspiracy stuff's great, but as far as definitely Home is definitely like the best of the Monster of the Day episodes. I would say that was it Modern Day Prometheus or Post? Shit. What is that? I just watched it the other day. Prometheus. Yeah. Postmodern Prometheus. kind of forgot about, like, in my head, like, before going back and rewatching all the X-Files, somehow in my head I had, there was a mashup in my head of postmodern Prometheus and Home in my head, I guess because there was people that, you know, with deformities in there, perhaps. But I would say that, the reason why I was kind of mixing the two together is I had it in my head that Home was in black and white, where postmodern Prometheus is the only X-Files episode to be in black and white. But I did just watch that the other day, and it has the great Mutato. Mutato, I think, is the character's name, which is basically this person that looks like Rocky from The Mask, the Cher movie, which is, of course, what is his last name? Yeah, I don't remember. Which I think is based on a real person. I don't really recall. I'm not going to go searching that. That's a little bit too much to dive into. Which apparently the X-Files, Chris Carter, the creator of the X-Files, the showrunner, had tried to get Cher in postmodern Prometheus, because at the end of the episode, you do, Mulder and Scully take the great Mutato to see Cher because he loves Cher because of the movie, The Mask. And was it Rocky Dennis or Rocky? Shit. Anyway, played by Eric Stoltz, by the way, in the movie, The Mask. The Great Mutato. Cher was supposed to actually be in that episode. She was apparently a huge fan of the X-Files. And apparently due to scheduling conflicts, she couldn't make it to it. So they ended up getting a Cher lookalike to pretend to be her and just, you know, not shoot her face. And but they have, you know, pictures of Cher and her music all throughout the episode, which is, you know, pretty classic shit. It's a pretty great episode, though. It's got John O'Hurley in postmodern Prometheus that was Peterman in Seinfeld, which was Elaine's boss at one point. Which I remember him telling some story. It's been a while since I've watched all of Seinfeld, but there's the great story he tells her, like something about Elaine telling Peterman about some pants story. It's like, this is ingenious, Elaine. He's taking something with the pants. He's taking back that same very day. I don't remember. I just remember that it was just Elaine. He just talks like that. He talks like Elaine. You're sitting in my chair, Elaine. But I love John O'Hurley. The point I'm getting to, just his voicing, his just mannerisms, and like his voice is just fucking epic. And he plays the Victor Frankenstein role, basically, in postmodern Prometheus, and is just fantastic in there, as always. Whereas it's an interesting episode because postmodern Prometheus is, of course, not like your average episode of the X-Files. It is just a goofy one. It's all in black and white. It's really just, I think, a love letter to old horror movies, like Frankenstein, and like the Boris Karloff era stuff and what have you, like Frankenstein or Bride of Frankenstein, and just classic movies like that, where it appears like, you know, it bookends at the beginning of the episode and at the end, starting as a comic book. So it's almost like the writer behind The Great Mutato in the episode. I do not recall the character's name. Dickie something, I guess. That he's written this comic book, and it's kind of like this episode is just a comic book version of the X-Files. That it's not actually happening in, it's not a real story in the X-Files universe. And it's just an interesting episode. And it's just a fun one, you know. It's fun, even though it's these women are basically getting, you know, impregnated in their sleep. They're getting Cosby'd, if you will. And although I don't know, did Cosby knock any women up? I think he was just fucking them. I don't know that. I'm sure he probably he did drug a lot of women and fucking raped them. So. I don't think he was the subject of The Great Mutato. I don't think that's who they were looking at, but it is kind of funny how like this basically is. I'm a little confused with the postmodern day postmodern Prometheus, because it would appear that which I don't remember if they actually give The Great Mutato an actual name. But he's going around, and it would appear that he knocked up some of these women after knocking them out with this, by cooking off this, this pucks of some agricultural stuff. I forgot what it was they were actually like cooking off. I don't know if it was a pesticide or what. But the people were breathing that in and getting knocked out and forgetting what happened. But it would appear that, you know, he essentially, Bill Cosby them, though it also appeared that perhaps the father, his father, quote unquote father, the guy that saved him, because he was created by John O'Hurley's character. His father, John O'Hurley's father, who ended up taking care of the Great Mutato, apparently did some experiments and with mixed stuff with animals to create these other people. It's a little confusing. Yeah, it's definitely, it looked really good on the projector. And, that's the important part. You want, you know, very cinematic episodes to look on the big screen. Cause not everything's going to look on the big screen. I did have my mother over for dinner the other night. And I gave her the option to just, you know, I gave her the Roku remote and be like, look, you got all these options. Just, you know, choose what you want to watch. You got this big projector here. I'm thinking, you know, maybe she'll want to watch some Casablanca or something. She loves Casablanca, and there's a lot of old movies that would look great on the projector. I do like me some Casablanca. Now, she's a big Gone with the Wind. I could care less for that. That's also a very fucking long movie. yeah, she, her choice was, which, you know, to each their own. I can't, you know, the shit on people's like in film too much, or I wouldn't call this film, but, I mean, I did watch a lot of, soap operas at one point in time. Before I had cable when I first moved out on my own, I didn't have cable but this is pre-streaming, internet stuff, you know, like Netflix or Disney Plus or anything, way before all that. And, I was watching, the stuff I could get in was, Days of Our Lives and like General Hospital and, Passions. And, you're damn right. I watched some Days was probably the one that I watched the most. Passions was interesting. It had some really crazy fucking stories. I watched a little General Hospital. But yeah, I watched a lot of Days back in the day. So, you know, I can't criticize too much about people's likes and dislikes. But my mother, of all things to choose to watch on this projector, which again, 150 inches on the wall. And, you know, I took out all the natural light downstairs. So you can the image quality is fantastic. It's 4K projector, no fucking natural light fucking with it. And she decided to watch the only thing I can, way to think of a way to think of to describe this movie. I think it was a movie that she put on. It seemed to me to be, and I don't know what country that these they were in America, from what I understand, but it was an Asian like community, if you will. I don't know if they're Vietnamese, Korean, or what. But I believe they were Asian. And so the only way I can think to describe this... And Fox, come up here, buddy. You want to talk about this? Come here. Come here, sir. So, it was an Asian Hallmark movie is the way I would describe this. It was very low budget. They were filming mainly inside somebody's house. It was not something you'd be like, you know what? I need to see this on the big screen. And yeah, it was basically a Hallmark movie. It was, I was cooking, so I wasn't really paying too much attention to the story. I just knew that, like, man, this is not something I would ever put on my projector. And she was using my profile on Netflix. I made her own after this. So she's watching this on my profile. And I made sure to, once we were done, that I hit dislike on it, and hopefully Netflix does not decide to send more shit like this my way. But it was basically an Asian Hallmark movie, and I guess this fella is like in his 50s or so ish, and has his wife dies, and then he's like 40, maybe he's like 40s or something. I don't know. Probably around my age. I don't know. And then it's like kind of starting to fall for this older woman who's also whatever Asian descent that this fella is. I presume, because they're speaking another language. I'm not sure what language. But yeah, it was like the, you know, it's, nothing, you know, I'm fine with hearing other languages and stuff and having to read subtitles. But this wasn't, again, this was just like shot in somebody's house. This wasn't like, it was, Hallmark movies generally have more of a budget than this Netflix film did. And, you know, to each their own, like what you like. But man, if you're going to watch it on the projector, like let's put some Indiana Jones on or something. The only time I put on stuff, like I will put on some X-Files episodes or it's like some true crime or something on the projector, is if I'm like not actively watching it. If like I'm eating or something and so I've kind of got some shit going, or, you know, I'm doing some painting or something. I've definitely done that while I was doing some painting, like throw some true crime docs up on the projector. But really, I mean, I got to say, I just finally, speaking of watching things that look great on the projector, I just recently started watching the last season, the third season of Daryl Dixon from, of course, Walking Dead. And I got to say, holy shit, that looks really good on the projector. They filmed this one, this last season in Spain. And, oh, man, kind of making me want to go to Spain. I can't afford to do that. But it would be kind of nice. I don't. I'd have to brush up on some Espanol. I don't really know a whole lot of Spanish. I know a few words. Poquito Espanol. Yo habla poquito Espanol. You know, I understand a little or whatever. not much, though. I'd have to really go at it. I really think, though, if I do go overseas again, I mean, I feel like I have to go one more time to Ireland. I just have such a love for the place. The Daryl Dixon season 3 looks pretty solid on the old projector. I can see why Norman Reedus would sign up to do that show. You know, I could also see why you wouldn't want to keep playing Daryl Dixon for what going on. Fuck, it's, was it 2009? I think it might have been 2011 when Walking Dead first aired. I'd have to pull it up on IMDb here. I want to say it was 2011. It is 2026 now, so that was 15 years ago, which it might be. Oh, 2010, so 16 years ago. He's been playing that character for 16 years, possibly even 17, because they probably started filming in 2009. It was really rough watching the end of the Walking Dead. Like, they really I think the problem that the main show had, especially the last, I don't know, 6-7 seasons. I mean, there was a lot of fucking seasons of The Walking Dead. The early on, it was the best show on TV, of course, minus Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad is the greatest television show of all time. The Walking Dead, though, was pretty up there as far as all of that is concerned. I mean, a solid show. And they just had way too many episodes in the seasons. I feel like if they would have cut the episode count in half for each season, it would have been way better. I mean, there are some really amazing episodes of The Walking Dead. And I think these one-off shows, or, well, you know, I don't know, one-off, they've got like several seasons of like, Daryl Dixon, and of course, I think they've got a third season already out, or maybe it's just started, of the one with Maggie and Negan, the City of the Dead or whatever it's called. Anyway, you know, I think that's kind of like the secret to what was going wrong with The Walking Dead. I mean, it was great to have you know, Rick come back in his series, which I don't know what's gonna happen. I haven't really paid attention to the Walking Dead universe, so I don't know if they're gonna reunite at some point, everybody back together, but you know, maybe. All I know is that Spain stuff looked really good, and it's cool to see like what else happened to the rest of the world, because it was, you know, a little like, not knowing all of that stuff. I mean, I'm fine with building out universes, I guess what I'm saying. And, you know, I still can't get enough Star Wars. So, you know, if they want to, you know, hit me up with some more movies. I don't know if Grogu, last I heard, didn't do that well in the theater, but I think it was expected that that would do way better streaming than in the theater. Let's see here, Star Wars movies. Let's see here. Let's see what news. Are they, what? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, a comic book. It was like, Kylo Ren officially returns the new Star Wars release next month. I thought it was like, how did I not? It's a comic book. All right. Yeah, I guess they're saying that Grogu flopped, but I feel like it would probably do a lot better streaming. But I mean, it made money. I think, let's see here. This is from a month ago, what GQ has to say. Every Star Wars project that's coming after The Mandalorian and Grogu, and a few that aren't, alive. Upcoming Star Wars projects with a release date or at least a projected release year. Star Wars Starfighter, that is in May 28th, 2027. That is with Ryan Gosling. The Sean Levy-helmed film features an impressive cast. Ryan Gosling, Flynn Grey, Matt Smith, Mia Goth, Aaron Pierre, and Amy Adams. Levy doesn't inspire the most confidence among cinephiles. The director of Free Guy doesn't bring to the table a particularly unique or identifiable vision compared to Rian Johnson. Oh, man. You know, I did like Looper, but his foray into Star Wars, yeah, fuck Rian Johnson. Or even J.J. Abrams. But he is a steady, workmanlike hand whose movies turn a profit. That steadiness is probably a breath of fresh air given all the turmoil across the franchise in recent years. We don't know a ton about the plot of Starfighter other than the fact that it takes place about 5 or 6 years after the rise of Skywalker. Gosling will play a pilot hired by Amy Adams to take her son, played by Flynn Grey, to an undisclosed location. There's some scuttlebutt that Gosling might be transporting Grey's character to new Jedi school headed by Rey. Of course, played by Daisy Ridley. But Kathleen Kennedy previously stated the film is meant to stand alone, so who knows for sure. And this one is exciting. Ahsoka Season 2 to be announced in 2027. The sophomore season of Ahsoka will drop sometime in 2027, making a 4-year gap between installments. Season 1 of Filoni's pet project, he and George Lucas co-created the character in 2008's animated Clone Wars, concluded with the villainous Grand Admiral Thrawn, played by Lars Mikkelsen, returning to the main Star Wars galaxy after being conveniently stuck in an altered dimension for the events of the original trilogy. Ahsoka, played by Rosario Dawson, and her apprentice Sabine Wren, Natasha Liu Bordizzo, are still stuck behind trying to find a way out. Presumably the series will conclude with some big battle between Thrawn's Imperial Remnant, which we see parts of in The Mandalorian and Grogu, and The New Republic, unless that's being saved for Filoni's big crossover film. More on that in a second. Oh, we are getting next year, Star Wars Maul Shadow Lord Season 2. That'll be sometime in 2027. I talked about that earlier. I'm a big fan of that. Then we've got in development, they've got Simon Kinberg's new trilogy. It's announced back in 2024, writer-producer Simon Kinberg, whose credits include the screenplays for 5 X-Men films, that's not necessarily a good thing, is supposed to be developing a trio of films that are reportedly intended to function as episodes 10 through 12 of the ongoing Skywalker saga. Kennedy mentioned to Deadline in her exit interview earlier this year that Kinberg put together a treatment for the story that was roughly 70 pages and was due in around March. Ultimately, the fate of that movie and all of these projects will be up to the franchise's new masters, but per Kennedy, the incoming regime is very much on board, and Kinberg's project was really what's up next. Then we've got James Mangold's Dawn of the Jedi. He, I believe, is the director behind Logan, which is, I mean, of the X-Men movies, probably the best. At least featuring Wolverine. Although, I mean, Deadpool Wolverine was pretty good. But Logan was fantastic. The A Complete Unknown director was prepping a story set roughly 20,000 years before the prequel trilogy that focused on the origins of the Jedi. Kennedy told Deadline that Mangold and Andor writer Bo Willimon had turned in a script that Kennedy describes as breaking the mold, but added that the movie is on hold for the moment. Audiences saw some of the early days of the Jedi Order in the Acolyte before the series was canceled. We can't help but wonder whether the lack of enthusiasm for that show caused Lucasfilm to cool down on Mangold's project, plus Paramount signed Mangold to an overall deal in 2025. So his dance card looks to be locked down for the foreseeable future. We wouldn't bet on seeing this one. So that's unfortunate. But, you know, hey, there's still a chance. And there's Filoni's Mandoverse crossover. The flop, Grogu being a flop, though, makes this seem kind of, eh. It was reported in 2023 that Filoni was set to helm a theatrical event movie pitched as an Avengers Endgame for all the live-action Disney Plus series. The Mandoverse crossover would theoretically see Filoni fave characters, including Mando and Grogu, Boba Fett, and Ahsoka and Sabine teaming up to stop Grand Admiral Thrawn. We can't fully count this one out, especially now that Filoni is running things at Lucasfilm, but it's always felt like a tough sell, given the amount of homework it would require of casual audiences who haven't followed these characters across years and years of animated live-action storytelling. I have, so I'm all for this, damn it. We may hear more about it now that Mandalorian Grogu is out, but if it happens at all, it may end up being just a Disney Plus special event. There's a standalone Rey film. Buddy, where to start with this one? The project initially announced in 2023 has cycled through various creative teams, including writers George Nolfi, Damon Lindelhoff, and Stephen Knight, with Charmaine Obaid Chinoy set to direct. Yeah, I know that one's... I'm not even going to bother reading it. I know that one's... I don't know. That one sounds like it's possibly not going to happen. Taika Waititi Star Wars film. Now, that's one I definitely... I would love to see. I love Taika Waititi. And would love to see this. Waititi always seems to have about a dozen irons in the fire at any given time, but the Thor writer-director has supposedly been developing a Star Wars project since 2020. Work on that one has seemingly stalled, but in her Deadline interview, Kennedy confirmed that she'd read a Waititi Star Wars script that was hilarious and great before noting that since she has one foot out the door, the project's future is ultimately not her decision. And this one's surprising that's even still mentioned, because I talked to earlier about Solo not being doing well, but Donald Glover's Lando film. This is one of the best parts of Solo is Donald Glover's portrayal of beloved rogue Lando Calrissian. You're goddamn right. Love me some Donald Glover, Community, and fucking, I'm a fan of the Solo film. Anyway, a spinoff featuring Glover's young version was initially announced as a Disney Plus series before Glover confirmed to GQ that he and his brother were writing it as a feature. Kennedy confirmed that Lucasfilm has seen a script but remained mum on its possible future. And he's writing the script. Mandalorian Season 4. Lucasfilm has remained coy about whether or not a fourth season of Mando is coming. The Mandalorian Grogu concludes in such a way that it's very possible and likely we'll receive a fourth season, but there's nothing official at this point. I believe I talked about it after I saw the Mandalorian Grogu. It's an entertaining film. It's like kind of like a Monster of the Week sort of thing with X-Files. You know, it doesn't really advance the plot of like the Mando so much. It's just like a one-off adventure for them. And you don't need to know the history of the Mandalorian and Grogu. You don't need to know all that shit. You can just watch it, and it's an entertaining thing. And that's, you know, I think works well in the theater. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like, you know, a lot of people saw it or enough to really consider it a success. I mean, it made some money. But these ones are dead, these next ones. Chances are even the power of the Force can't resurrect these once promising projects. Rian Johnson's spinoff trilogy, thankfully. Before The Last Jedi hit theaters, Lucasfilm had already announced they'd tapped Rian Johnson for a spinoff trilogy with a clean slate concept. I said, the most interesting thing to me would be a new trilogy. Yeah, we don't need to read all that. Please tell me that, yeah, that won't happen. Steven Soderbergh and Adam Driver's The Hunt for Ben Solo. That would have been an interesting one. I do like Kylo Ren. I feel like, I mean, you know, I enjoyed the sequel trilogy, the first episode, Star Wars Awakens, even though it was just a retelling of Star Wars A New Hope. It was just a newer version of that. I mean, the whole story was just A New Hope. It was really entertaining. Last Jedi, they shit the bet on that. They shit the bet on that, and then Rise of Skywalker had, because of that, just kind of had no chance out of the gate. They had to clean up when all the shit that Rian Johnson did to the previous film. And they did not do a good job of it either. They shit on top of the shit that was already on the bed. And then, of course, I am so glad about this. David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, Star Wars trilogy. They're saying that is dead. Thankfully, I had heard at times that was still possibly happening with the Rian Johnson thing, too. Like, here it says, tapping the Game of Thrones guys to do a Star Wars project ahead of the show's final season seemed like a no-brainer. Yeah, it was idiotic. Until people saw the final season of Thrones. While there's no direct evidence that the negative reaction to Benioff and Weiss Thrones denouement torpedoed their plans for a trilogy, it has to have been a factor. The pair soon signed a deal with Netflix to develop Three Body Problem for the streamer, and their planned trilogy didn't move forward. So yeah, I would say there's a few more they mentioned about dead. I'm glad to hear that theirs and Rian Johnson's are dead, because I don't like, you know, the first like four seasons of Game of Thrones was like the best shit ever. Minus Breaking Bad. but what they did which it seemed like they really just wrapped it up, that series. They'd worked so hard at building that show up. And it was, I mean, from the first episode of the first season, it was winter is coming. Winter is coming. We knew that, you know, the, what are the frost, the fucking, the army of the dead, whatever they're fucking called in Game of Thrones. I can't think. The, anyway, they just keep teasing them throughout the seasons. And like, this is going to be this epic fight. They just really just, let's wrap this up. As soon as they, it seemed like as soon as they were like, we're going to make some Star Wars movies, fuck this Game of Thrones shit, is kind of how I felt watching the last like season or season and a half of like Game of Thrones, the original series. But yeah, I really got to wrap this up. I do need to clean out the letterbox and my after choking on that broccoli earlier, my voice is a little rough. And you know, I did have to weld earlier. I could go on about like Game of Thrones and stuff. I've been watching so much shit lately. I'm up to date on the Game of Thrones House of the Dragon, and I did watch the whole series. Knight of the Seven Realms, is it? Or Seven Kingdoms? That was good stuff. But only the short episodes, man. That I feel like they could have made that a little bit longer. You know, give us a little bit more on that one. But I guess it's like Bruce Springsteen's I'm on Fire, you know? Maybe it's a really great song because it's only like 2 minutes and some something seconds. Because it's so short. They leave you wanting more. Unlike what I was going to say, the final season of Game of Thrones, but there wasn't that many episodes in the final season. I feel like they really just took those battles and just immediately shit out this, like, it just wrap it up real quick. It seemed like there was going to be way more involved. The way they were building it up, it seemed like there was going to be way more shit. And, yeah. That's really all I've got. As always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.